Read those three together, three verses together, please. For the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham nor to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. For if they which are of the law be heirs, faith is made void, and the promise made of none effect. Because the law worketh wrath, for where the law is, there is no transgression. By verse 13, for the promise. What promise is referred to here? What is it? The Abrahamic promise to Abraham that he should be the heir of the world. In what way was he to be the heir of the world? All right, he foretold the Lord Jesus Christ, and also he was a forerunner of genuine faith, wasn't he? God promised it to him, he believed it, and that faith, that Abraham's faith, is a picture of the believer's faith today in the Lord Jesus Christ. If we're genuine, we can do that. Heir of the world. Now notice, when did God give that promise to Abraham according to verse 13? Was the law of Moses then in existence? No, the law of Moses was not there. Not through the law. What law would that be? Law of Moses. But instead of the law, what was the promise made? Through what? Righteousness of faith. What? By faith Abraham believed God. Now, notice, normally people consider something of righteousness is by what means do some people today, the people in this world, think that you get righteousness? What is it?
Works.
By works, be doing good, doing right. But you see, does God care anything about a sinner, lost, hell-bound sinner, doing good works? Does that please God and take that person to heaven? No, there's nothing to do with it. It's by faith. What kind of faith is it? Heart belief, and genuine faith, in whom? In the Lord Jesus Christ, knowing that they're sinners and lost, and Christ died for their sins, and they trust him. So the righteousness of faith. Now, does that mean that a person has righteousness by genuine faith in Christ, that he or she is absolutely perfectly righteous in this world?
No.
What does it mean? They're stayed before God in his books, totally, absolutely, 100% righteous. But that's the goal. We should aim at that in our daily lives, righteousness of faith. And that substance, that thing, is unknown and by many today and unbelieved. I don't believe that righteousness can come by faith, but that's what the scriptures are very clear in. Then in verse 14, yeah, fine. All right, let's list a few things that people try to do. We got some of them the other day. What are some of the things they try to do in order to get to heaven? Won't get them there, but they think it will. Baptism. Whether it's sprinkling, whatever it's immersion, that won't get you there. What else?
Following the church's rules.
Trying the church's rules. Yeah, Bill?
Asking Jesus into your heart.
Now, that's a fake, false methodology. Many of us have heard it for years, but once we understand it, that's not the way to go. What does it say in Jeremiah 17:9? The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. What could the Lord Jesus do in that wicked heart? See, Tammy?
Going to church.
Going to church. Just going to church is not going to save you. Any church. Now, whether it's a Roman Catholic church, whether it's a Baptist church, whether it's a Presbyterian church, that's not going to save anybody. What else? What are some other things that will not say? What is taking communion? Now, the Lord's Supper that we have in our church here is only for genuinely born-again Christians. And we always make that clear. If you're not genuinely saved, don't take the Lord's Supper. It's only for believers. And whether it's the Mass in the Roman Catholic Church, that won't save anybody either. See, nothing, anything like that, it's not going to save. What else? Five of them. Anna? What is it? Oh, continue with the question. Any other things that people do that think they're going to get saved? Oh, go ahead.
Oh, okay. I see. Or counting.
Oh, okay, we got five. I got my hand up. I'm kind of all right. Go ahead. What's another thing people think they're going to get saved by?
About that.
Okay, all right. Yes, Rick.
And some people think just being a good person.
Good person, just by their works, good works.
Giving money.
Money's not going to save them. I think that's going to do it.
Volunteering
for work. That's eight of them right there. These things will never save anybody. The thing that must be true, a person realizes that they're sinners. If a person does not realize they're out and out sinners before God, they cannot be saved. They think they're too good, they're lost. First, I'm genuinely saved, I'm going to hell. Secondly, they must realize the Lord Jesus died for their sins in their place, took their place on the cross. Thirdly, they must accept and receive and believe in the Lord Jesus as their Savior who died for them. Without these three things, people are lost and they're on their way to hell. A lot of people don't get that, but that's the gospel the way it is. So, righteousness by faith. Then notice in verse 14, if they that are of the law be heirs, what is, excuse me, Anna?
Here, we have an email.
Okay.
Greetings from Wisconsin. Thank you so much for praying for my sister Patty. I'm looking forward to Bible study tonight in the book of Romans in Christ because...
Okay, it's waved to Wendy Kosick and Rick. Wendy is close to Wisconsin. Thank you, Wendy and Rick. All right, so there in verse number 14, if the law is by the works of the law of Moses, we get heirs of God, what does that make faith? What does that make and do to faith? Makes it useless without any. It makes it void without any effect. Anna.
But we got a text message from Collins.
Okay.
Comment on verse 14. Void means useless, rather empty or useless.
Okay. Void means empty or useless. And who's it from?
From Collins. From Pastor Dan.
Well, we got to know who to wave to. Wave to Pastor Dan right there in his bed. Thank you, Pastor Dan. We miss him. We miss him very strongly. And he's going to have to hook up the internet. I forgot to push the button, Dan, so you're going to have to do that when you get back so we can get these things copied. All right, so that's very good. Useless and void. The promise made of none effect. Absolutely worthless. Yvonne? What is that? Little by little. Higher than normal, so we continue to pray. Low-grade fever, okay. All right, now in verse 15, what is true, what does it mean for the law worketh wrath? What does that mean?
Verse 15,
the law worketh wrath. What does that mean? Well, that's right. In other words, if you don't keep the law, you're going to have the wrath of God on your hands. If people are trying to be saved by keeping the law of Moses or any law, that's wrath. Now, what does it mean in the last part of this about no law, no transgression? Yes, Rick.
I was thinking about, you know, going back to, like, drawing the line in the sand as our country, you know. But I think the law is sort of like the line.
Mm-hmm.
And so when people see it, at least that's how it identified to me. Like, mm-hmm. It's the line in the sand. Mm-hmm. You know, you can't go past that at all. If there's no line, you don't know. And mm-hmm. You're still all over the place.
So in other words, there's got to be some rule. So then you know if you violate that rule,
right.
It's
that
a transgression.
Correct.
That's good. Yes, Tammy.
If there's no law, then the policemen are going to come after you.
Right. That's right. In other words, whether it's a parking violation, whether it's a speeding violation, whatever it may be, if the limit is 35, you're going 55, you're arrested, you break the law. But without the law, there's no transgression. But once the law is there, in other words, the Ten Commandments and all the other things in the Old Testament, they just nail it down. See, before that, it was still sin. Adultery was still sin. Stealing was still sin. Murder was still sin. But that nails it down when it gets some specifics, and they know exactly, without the law, no transgression. Transgredio literally means what? Stepping across. Stepping across. So you got to have something to step across. You got a law, a line, you step across, that's a violation of the law. You have
like a stop sign.
Yes.
Like stop sign there, and you don't stop, you have a car, you go through it. There's no law.
There's no law. That's right.
Then when you put the stop sign up.
Then you have a way of transgression, and then you can be penalized for that transgression. That's right. Well, let's read verse 16, 17, and 18 together. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be by grace, to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I made thee a father of many nations, before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead, and calleth those things which he be not as though they were. Did we read, is that 3?
No, it's 2.
Okay, 18. Who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. Our questions at bftbc.org or 856-261-9018. Give us a call or comment. Glad to hear from you. Just say hello. So then in verse number 16, therefore it is of faith. What does the last part of this sentence mean? It is of faith. By grace. How does that fit in? What does that mean? All right. And grace means what? Grace means what? It's a gift. Getting something you don't deserve. And so it's like getting something you don't deserve. Don't work for it. So it's a faith that it might be by grace. God gave you salvation if you trust in Christ as Savior. And righteousness has been given by the Lord by His grace. We don't deserve anybody who deserves absolute righteousness in the books of heaven. But through genuine faith in Christ, He gives it by faith, that it might be by His grace. To the end, that what? What's that last part mean? To the end, that what? Be sure. Now, which seed would be spoken of here?
Those that are going to believe.
Those that are going to be the seed of believers. The seed of follow the faith of Abraham. Now, not only to that which is of the law, but who else? Not only the law of Moses type of people. It's all of the faith of Abraham. Now, what does this mean? It's the father of us all. Yeah, Anna.
Well, there's a comment from Collingsworth.
Okay.
Pastor Dan about
it. Go ahead.
It says, Abraham is our spiritual father.
Okay, that's good. What are the people called? Excuse me, Barbara, go ahead.
The law would be the Jewish Christians, and the faith of Abraham would be the Gentile Christians.
The Gentile Christians. What is that called where people make the law over into grace? What is that called, that mixture?
Legalism.
That's legalism. What else? It's when they have the law of Moses made into grace, sort of a blending them in. There's a big word for it. What is it? Blending them and making them sort of together.
It's the opposite of dispensation.
Well, that's possibly the opposite of dispensation. But there's some people say, see, in other words, they say that we are now Jews. Is that true? Are saved people Jews?
Replacement theology.
Replacement theology. That's the term. That's the one I was looking for. What is replacement theology? How would that be defined?
The church replaced Israel.
All right, the church replaced Israel. In other words, Israel is no longer there. It becomes the church. Horrible. Israel's still Israel. Church is still the church. Separate, completely separate. Tammy.
The Roman Catholic Church is very strong in replacement theology. They're Israel now.
Yes, yes.
Amills in general.
Amills
right.
In general also. Of course, that's why the Roman Catholic Church, with their priests, their robes, their whole thing, just like the Old Testament.
Right,
see,
exactly.
It's just like Israel, just like it's horrible. So we've got to be very careful. But it says that the father of us, in what sense is Abraham the father? Who's the us referred to, father of us? Oh, in what sense?
Believers,
Christians, those that have. Those that have genuine faith in Christ, us. Anna?
Well, it's in the spiritual sense.
Yes.
Someone sent a text message about
What was that? Thanks.
The text message was talking about how Abraham was a spiritual father
of us all.
Biologically, but
spiritually. Let's wave to that person, the challenger. Thank you.
Thanks,
Pastor Dan.
Very good. I don't know if you can see us waving. He might be sitting down and just hearing us.
Oh, that could be just hearing us. But anyway, that's fine.
Well, you heard
him
say hi.
Yeah. In other words, he's the spiritual father of us all. But a lot of people misuse this verse and say that Israel now has become the church and we're now Israel because he's the father of us, therefore replacement theology. And that's false. That's false theology. But father of the faithful, of the faith. Then in verse 17, what does it say about the father of how many people? Abraham's the father of how many people?
Many nations.
Before whom we believed. Now notice, what does it say about God here in verse, excuse me, Rick?
Yeah, I just had a question. I've always been curious, and I guess it's a good time to ask you. You see, sometimes things are in brackets or parens.
Uh-huh.
I just never completely understood that. Like, why wasn't that just as is it written, you know, without the paren? It must have a reason for that, like a deeper reason.
Well, it's a good question. I'm not sure that I can answer it. I guess it's parenthetical. It's quoting an Old Testament, but sometimes they use it without quoting the Old Testament, but maybe because it's as a sort of a backup thing. Yes, Tammy.
Is that adequate punctuation?
It could be in the Greek, you mean, in the Greek text?
Well, I'm just wondering if it was like when the translators, whoever in the Greek, or whenever they put punctuation,
mm-hmm.
was that when they...
Yes, possibly. I think it probably is in the Greek text there, and the King James just put in Anna. Anna?
It's just like
to help clarify things where you're reading
it, because it's like Brian's court for saying who's the father of us all, but then it's the phrase after before whom he believed.
Yes.
It's
helps to understand.
Because the parenthetical is interrupting.
That's right. It sort of explains, but that's it's difficult. But sort of as it is written. Now, what does it mean, as it is written? What tense is that in the Greek language?
Perfect
tense. What's the Greek word? Gegraptai, from grapho. What does gegraptai mean, this perfect tense in Greek, always mean? What does it mean?
What
is written, but...
What was written in the past and
it
still continues to hold that for the future.
It's written in the past, and it continues to the present and on into the future. It's a past, present, and future tense. That's a beautiful part about the Greek language. We're glad the New Testament's got these specific things. And so God doesn't change his mind. I have made thee, who's the thee referred to?
Abraham,
father of many nations, before whom he believed, even God. Now, what does it say about the Lord here in verse 17?
Quick and to death.
What does quicken mean?
Make alive.
He makes alive the death. What's the second thing he talks about the Lord?
Now,
what does that mean? Cause the things that be not as though they were. What does that mean?
The promise to Abraham was given to him in his old age.
All right.
It's still going to be fulfilled, even though physically it would seem impossible.
All right. What were some of the things God promised to Abraham?
A son.
And what about the son? What else did he promise him?
Through his wife, Sarah.
Through wife, Sarah. What else? Many nations. And what does the analogy of the picture of the many nations, what two things were the pictures of the many nations?
The sand of the sea.
Sand of the sea.
Stars
of the sky. As many, just multitudes.
And it would include the Gentiles.
Well, of course, in Abraham, the seed of Abraham would be just the Jews, right?
Right, but the father of many nations, the Jews,
well,
are only one nation.
Well, that's your father, but the promise was that Abraham would, his seed, literal seed, would be of the Jews, many nations, stars of the heavens, sand of the seashore. Yes, he will be the father, but the promise that he was made was the Israelites. See, Tammy?
He promised other things. He promised
land.
Yes, promised
him. Standing on and looked to the left.
That's right. The land, the promise of land. That's right, Anna.
We have an email here. Hello, Pastor. Sending warm greetings to you and to all our PFT church family. Thank you very much for tonight's Bible study. God bless. In His love, Carl and Vicki.
Let's wave to Carl and Vicki Albert in the state of Maine. Thank you very much, Carl and Vicki. Appreciate that. So the Father of many nations, that's true, because whether it's in the, under the law or under the promise, so in the future. But the physical Father would be the nation of Israel, the Jews, that He was promised. But the Father in the faith would be many nations. Literal Father, Jews only. Spiritual Father, many nations. That's universal. That's the one that's in faith. Father of many nations, Jew, Gentile, everybody. But the Father, literal Father, the nations, they would be the Jews multiplied profusely with the land and all the promise. Yes. In other words, the land was not given to the Gentiles. That holy land, that's Jews only. Yeah, Rick.
I was wondering about Ishmael.
Yes.
You know, God knew what was going to happen with Abraham. That
yes.
He would have some doubts, and that Sarah would offer
right.
her maid and all like that. Mm-hmm. So the Lord knew way ahead of time that this was going to happen.
Yes.
I was just wondering, like nations, maybe even that part of it, that he was the physical father.
To yeah. Oh, well, yes. Many nations. That particular nation. There. Yes, that's right. Yes, Barbara.
Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, know ye therefore that they which are of faith the same are the children of Abraham. And the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all the nations be blessed. So then they which be of faith are blessed with the faith of Abraham. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ.
That's true. So the spiritual blessing of Abraham, Jew and Gentile, physical promise, only Jews, not Gentiles. Gentiles have nothing to do. See, that's replacement theology. If you mix the two, you can't mix Israel with the Gentile. They just can't do it. Got to be separate, complete. All right. So, but in faith, the Father, the faithful in Christ, Jew, Gentile, anybody. Yeah, Rick?
Back to my point, because I always have trouble with Ishmael and Isaac.
Yes.
But would Ishmael be considered a Jew then, because he was fathered by Abraham?
Sort of halfway, I guess.
Yeah.
A little bit on the outside.
I thought
yes.
It was through Isaac.
In Isaac, shall I see? Because really, in Isaac is the real one. Anna.
I guess the person in Collins right here is drawing a contrast. Sarah and Hagar.
Okay, go right ahead.
Sarah versus Hagar. And they don't elaborate in Galatians. But I guess it's probably supposed to be referencing Galatians.
All right, let's wave again to the Pastor Dan over in Chicago and here in Collinsville. Thank you, Pastor Dan. Oh, I appreciate that. So he's very active. Very active. Someone used another term for that tonight, namely his wife. I'd better not use that word that she used. Begins with an A. I think she said A-N. Very active. Yeah, whatever. Anyway, I won't say it. Anyway.
But
no, that's all right. There's no problem. I don't want to misquote anybody. All right. So, Father of many nations, that those, he called those things that be not as though they were. Now, as we mentioned, there was many, many years before the Jews could go into Palestine. And then they went in there, and then they went back to Egypt, and they got to deliver them out and went back. So what does that, what type of activity would that be when God can call things which be not as though they were? What is that concept?
That's foundation.
What is it?
God's, say that again, please.
What was that concept?
Well,
it could be omniscience, that's right.
Prophetic.
I said prophetic. In other words, God can see the future. Here's, you got this whole line, we got someone. Yeah, Randy and Anne Marie, how are you doing? From Canada.
Yes, sir, Pastor Ed, this is Randy, and we are tuned in to you and watching. I just have a question, Pastor Wade.
Yes.
Is the promise that about the sands of the sea, does that refer to the future and the many who would be Christians by faith also, or do you think it's just for the Jews?
Okay, that's a good question. Let's answer that question. It's Wade Randy and Anne-Marie from Canada. I believe that that's just the Jews, their seed, as the stars of the heaven, so on. Now, physical seed, but I think, Randy, spiritual seed of the faith, the Father, the faithful Father of us all, that goes all over. See, everybody that's a genuine faith, that would refer. But I think that the seed, physical seed, would refer to the Jewish nation, and God has blessed them in that way, but the spiritual seed, everybody, Jew, Gentile, all over the world. Anna?
Oh, so there's a question from Pastor Dan. He's wondering if the word was animated.
You wondered what?
If the word was animated.
Oh. I don't know.
He forgot.
Well, I know what the word was, I think, but I don't want to make a mistake.
Well,
I remember very well. What I thought what you said. A-N-S-I-E. I don't know how to spell it. Is that what you said? I don't know. The meaning of what his wife said was very active. He wants to just keep it, you know, doesn't want to rest. He doesn't want to rest. Like, busy.
Animated is a good word.
Yeah. I think you said antsy, but I'm not sure. Anyway, but
be the... supposed to be resting.
It's supposed to be resting, and still now he's just active, very active. Well, that's good.
Yes, it is.
All right, thank you very much, Pastor Dan. Thank you, Randy. I hope that clarifies it. So in other words, there is a...
It's so good to hear you.
Very good to hear, Randy.
Are you coming back home?
Yes, we want to know when you're coming back to visit with us. And they got things straightened out. One of these days, they'll be coming back and visit, say, for a few weeks, maybe a brief visit. They got some things to take care of. So in answer to the question, I believe the here we go. Here's the answer. I'll be back next month. Let's see. Ed Jacob from Texas. Hi, Jacob.
Yes, sir. Hi. Pastor Wade, I got in Isaiah 49, the first part of this chapter talks about the Gentiles, you know, bringing them Gentiles in also.
Uh-huh.
After this 16, behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands, and thy walls are continually before me. Thy children shall make haste and destroy them, and they that made thee waste shall go forth of thee. Then jump down here to 19, for thy waste and thy desolate places and the land of thy destruction. But, okay, in 20, the children which thou shalt have after this, after thou hast lost the others, shall say in thine ears, the place is too straight for me to be placed to me that may dwell. Then shall thou say in thy heart, who hath begotten me these, seeing I have lost my children and am desolate and captive, removing to and fro, who hath brought forth these? Behold, I was left alone. These, where had they been? Thus saith the Lord God, behold, I will lift my hand to the Gentiles, and set my standard to the people, and they shall bring thy sons in thine arms, and thy daughters shall be carried upon their shoulders. It looks to me like we're adopted into that, into the kingdom, Jews and Gentiles in one different groups of people, but it seems like we're the children here in that sense.
All right. Thank you, Jacob. Let's wave to Jacob in Texas. Thank you for Jacob. Jacob, that's true, but I think that in the matter of the faith of Abraham, that applies to all nations. Anybody who trusts the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior and Redeemer, as it says in Galatians, we quoted earlier, and the faith for all peoples, all nations, but as far as the promise of a nation, Israelites, see, that's why we have the millennium. That's why we have the millennium, where the Lord Jesus will reign. And that's why we have the tribulation period of 144,000 Jews, 12,000 each of the tribes. In other words, there's going to be a Jewish exaltation, and the nation of Israel is going to be literally what it is. And the Gentiles can be entering into the faith of Abraham, but they're not. They don't. Doesn't make the Gentiles Jews. See, that's the thing. So it's a ticklish situation. But we got to be careful with replacement theology. Tammy and then Barbara.
I'm just thinking there's a verse in Galatians that talks about not as sees us as many, but seed.
Yes.
Down further from where the promise was seed. So it seems like it's...
And my seed was Christ.
Well, it's referencing Israel. It's also referencing Christ himself.
Yes.
So,
right.
You know, but it's still, you know, as far as the promise.
Yeah, the promise.
Because the promise in Genesis 15.
Uh-huh.
It said, to thy seed, so shall thy seed be.
Mm-hmm. That seed was Christ. Yes, Barbara.
To comment on what she has, which is not what I was going to originally say. Not as though the word of God hath taken none effect, for they are not all Israel, or to our God Israel, neither because they are the seed of Abraham are they all children, but in Isaac shall thy seed be called, that is, they which are the children of the flesh. These are not the children of God, but the children of the promise is counted for the seed.
That's just for the flesh, that would be Ishmael, see, not the Israel. That's right.
But to get back to what I was going to say is, we are the grafted branch. We
yes.
are and for us to be for the Gentiles to be grafted into
mm-hmm.
the root has to be viable.
Yes, but it's by faith we're grafted by faith, not grafted as a nation. See, Israel's still Israel, never changed.
Oh, I'm
Gentiles always Gentile, but by faith,
right.
That's what it means. Father of the faithful. We've got to be very careful with replacement theology. And a lot of people are saying no longer Israel, got the Gentiles now become Israel. So we've got to be careful. They're two separate entities.
You say there's no future.
Yes, they say there's no future for Israel, but God has promised the future. Yes, Tammy.
It seems very popular today. It's taking the end times by storm.
Yes.
Post millennials and post truth.
Uh huh.
I mean, they're different, but they have similar sort of theology.
Yes. In other words, God can see down in verse number 17, the things which be not as though they were. He can see ahead. He can see heaven and heaven, all these things. He can see the Gentiles. He can see the Jews coming to Christ, being saved. And he can see all the things. See the tribulation period, see the millennial reign of Christ, see eternal things in heaven. It's a wonderful thing. That's his omniscience, able to see prophetically. Then in verse 18, we read that, I think, who against hope believed? Who's the who referred to there? What is it?
Abraham.
Abraham, that's right. Against hope. What does that mean? Against hope.
He was old.
He was old.
Sarah was old.
Sarah was old. Both of them were old. And they just, but he still believed. Then when God told him to go to a land we never had seen, what does that mean? Is that a normal thing to go somewhere we've never seen? Something, yeah, Anna?
Another comment.
Okay.
It's hope is a confident expectation of something that is certain to come to pass.
Good.
He says that he can hear us wave.
You can hear us wave. Oh, okay, in other words, we're waving so he can hear us because he's not seeing. He's okay. Pastor Dan, thank you very much. We're glad for his presence. Even in his absence. What's that?
You probably heard us making comments about it.
All right. Very good. So, against hope, as he says, he defined what hope was. Confidence, what was it, Anna?
You know, a confident expectation of something that is certain to come to pass.
Very good. Confident expectation, something is certain to come to pass. That's hope. Believed in hope. He might become the father of many nations. Faithful father. Father in the faith, I believe. According to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. Father in the faith, and that refers to the Lord Jesus, doesn't it? Did we read 19 yet?
No.
Well, let's read 19, 20, and 21. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body, now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. And being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. Let's take those very briefly. Not weak in faith. How would you define that? Not weak in faith. He's strong. Not weak, is strong, certainly. Faith, just not being able to see anything, just just believing something through. Yeah, Barbara?
Faith must have an object, and the kind of faith depends on the object.
Yes, it does. Depends on the object, kind of faith. Now, what did he not consider in verse 19?
His age.
His age. His body dead. Couldn't have any children. How old was he?
100.
About 100. And what else did he not consider?
Sarah's
womb. Deadness. So neither of them, father and mother. Yes, Rick.
Also, Sarah never had any other children before that. That's yes. A whole other thing that must have been in his mind. If they had had children along the way,
yes,
it would have been a little easier for him to have that,
yes,
at least belief. But
right,
she, this was her first child.
First child, absolutely.
At 90.
First child. 90, and he was 100, that's right.
My mom always said, never say
God.
Yeah. So not weak in faith. That really took faith, did it not? That took real faith. And then in verse 20, what does it mean? He staggered not. What does that mean? Staggered not at the promise.
He didn't doubt.
Didn't doubt, didn't fall over. Stagger, that means just fall over the heap. Through unbelief, but what was he?
Strong
in faith. And what else?
Glory to God.
God was able. He just trusted the ability, the absolute omniscience, and omnipotence, rather, of God, all powerful. And then in verse 21, what was his faith like? What was his faith like? In verse 21.
Strong.
Strong. Not just persuaded, but fully persuaded. What was he persuaded about?
What God promised he was going to do.
That's exactly. The he refers to whom? God the Father, who he has promised, he was able also to perform. What is that attribute called? Omnipotence, able also to perform. And we've got a great God. The Bible God is a great God. And it's not Allah either. It's not Allah. It's our great God. And this is a great testimony for Abraham, isn't it? So we've got to trust the Lord Jesus Christ. He's promised eternal life to those that realize they're sinners, realizing Christ died for their sins, and who trust the Lord Jesus as their Savior. He can save them and give them everlasting life. I ministered to a lady. I'm in a hospice group. I'm the chaplain of one of the ladies, and she's 93, I believe, is her age. And we brought her the word this morning. We're not supposed to pressurize her, but we're in the book of John, chapter 11 this time. We just go chapter of John each time we see her, every 2 weeks. And we trust that she is exactly trusting the Lord Jesus as Savior and Redeemer. And one of the things that he said, I am the resurrection and the life, in John chapter 11. And though he were dead, yet shall he live. Whosoever liveth and believeth shall never die. And I told her very clearly, die physically, and she's very near to death, but spiritually, everlasting life. He's able to do that. He's the one that raised Lazarus from the dead in chapter 11. So praise the Lord, he's staggering out of the promise of God through unbelief. I'm going to stop right here at verse 20. Yes, Vaughn. Yes. Yeah, Pastor Dan is a chaplain of the man that he died, but he was faithful as he could before he died. So we just keep as chaplains. Other items of prayer or items of any items for comment or question before we close tonight?
And we went to see him yesterday. He didn't want to make him sicker.
But yes. Yes, he was going to call on him. My Pastor Dan was to see this man. Didn't want to make him sick because he was sick. He died just overnight. See, he was in very bad shape, I understand. Very bad shape. The man was, yeah. Just see what's got here, then we'll go. Yes, hello? Hello?
Hello? Hello? Pastor
yes.
Wayne?
Yes.
Yes, this is Dale.
Dale Bromer. Yes, go ahead, Dale Bromer,
yes,
from Texas.
You're enjoying the Bible study very much, and I just want to say hello to everybody.
Very good. Well, thanks, Dale. Let's wave to Dale from Texas. Dale Bromer. That's Jacob's mother. Okay. Any other comments or questions before we close? Well, let's close with a word of prayer. Our Father, we thank thee for Abraham. His faith wasn't perfect. No person on this earth is perfect but the Lord Jesus Christ. But we thank thee for his complete, total faith in thy promises, even though he couldn't see, even though he couldn't understand how he could have a child how Sarah could have a child. But he was fully persuaded, without its promise, thou was able also to perform. Give us that same faith, those of us who are genuinely trusting in our Savior. Guide us and direct us, bring us back safely on the Lord's Day. Continue to take care of Pastor Dan, heal his body, and bring him back safely to the office and to our church. In Jesus' name we ask and pray. Amen. Thank you for coming.